much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Open wide for Chunky.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yes, 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 yes. Big sheep.
Ooh, ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Bean, you're a shithead.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio.
Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Oh, my God. Bean. Shut the f*** up. Bean. I don't care. F*** you, Bean.
And now.
I am feeling stoked about today. I mean, this is the day. You know, I'm the guy doing the thing that dudes do, and I'm here.
Our feature presentation.
Not sure what any of that means, but I guess that's true of us as well. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. And here's a song.
Have we heard this one yet?
No.
I think she's getting better, guys. This woman
has 10 albums?
15.
15 albums.
Crazy. She's on iTunes now, too.
No
way. She's moving on up into the 20th century. Yeah, she sure is.
I used to have to go to her website and then put in, like, my credit card number and enter a code. And it was crazy.
Now you can just buy them.
Who knew? You can buy them song by song?
I think How Deep Is Your Love is maybe one of the best things she's ever done. I really do. And it's awesome because it's as – well, first of all – she never does a song newer than the last 20 years. I don't know what that's
correct.
About. Second of all, every time she sings a song, it's as if she's never heard the original. She doesn't have any idea what the melody is, where it goes, how what her part is. But she just gets better and better.
Well, and I there's further proof that whoever's behind Wing is a genius and should be my friend. That all the songs that are selected for her are the most demanding.
They're difficult
vocals, yes. You know?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I have to thank the Kevin and Bean listener, Kevin, who tipped me off to a new feature on Wing's website where she will call and sing Happy Birthday or sing another song to somebody if you pay her.
Any song?
Well, I think she'll choose something from her repertoire.
Oh, that's
so. If
the
you
best.
Wanted, for instance, if I wanted Lisa's birthday's coming up, and I wanted Wing to call and sing "How Deep Is Your Love," I could pay Wing to do it. And I think I think it's super cheap, like $8 or something.
Wow!
Do they just play the track, or do they actually have her on the phone?
Ah, that's a great question. I mean, I remember it took us 6 months to get her on the phone last time we wanted an interview. It was an extremely elaborate process. But I think it might be worth trying to talk to her again and find out the specifics of how that birthday call thing works, because we need to start sending those out to people.
Yeah, you're going to have to twist my arm to talk to Wing.
I'm telling you, yeah, I know we're in. I just don't know if she's in. She's tough to get on the phone. But I am telling you two things. One is, it would be worth paying to have her call you every day as a wake-up call.
I agree.
How excited would you be to jump out of bed if the phone rang and you knew it was going to be Wing who's going to sing to you?
It was a different song each day.
And second of all, you know, Wing lives in New Zealand, where we found out yesterday prostitution is legal. I'm just saying, it's turning into the best country in the world.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know how much you have to pay Wing for that.
I don't want
to
put those two together.
Turning into a Kevin and Bean singles party in New Zealand.
In New Zealand?
Oh,
with a
great
performance
idea.
By Wing.
It's a woman that we found from South Park, and we didn't think she existed, but Wing, W-I-N-G, and she is magic. She can't.
I'm very excited.
She's almost worse than all of the American Idol highlights put together. Almost.
Yeah.
Just no phrasing, no thought about like how the words should flow, nothing. Love it.
And you know, Simon would have rejected her, but look at her. 15 albums.
15 albums.
He would have been wrong.
And probably making a living. Now, she clearly, English is not her first language.
No.
She does live in New Zealand, but she's Korean or something?
Looks
right?
like it. Looks like she's
Korean.
Something
like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure.
Well, anyway.
Her origin.
We, Producer Alex, I don't know if you listen to the show anymore, but if you do, we'd like to put in a request to speak with Miss Wing, please, about her new birthday calls. So yeah. There you go. I thought we'd, you know, oftentimes we come in here and start with a bad story. Today I thought we'd start with some great news.
Very exciting.
Very nice.
All right, time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Don't miss the West Coast premiere of the 2010 NASCAR season. For tickets or information, call AutoClubSpeedway.com, or visit there, I should say, or call 800-944-RACE. We're talking about a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500 coming up on February the 21st at the Auto Club Speedway. What day of the week is that? I can't remember.
Sunday!
Hey, heck of a... Hey.
It doesn't work, my echo.
Come on now. Let's begin with Nick, because this is a travesty and it must be stopped.
Okay.
Nick, hi.
Hi. I was down in Huntington Beach. I know you guys were talking about, you know, they're giving citations for playing beer pong inside a bar.
I haven't heard citations. I just heard that they have outlawed beer pong.
No. They're giving citations now. I got a $50 citation for playing beer pong.
And what kind of a ticket is it? It's just a...
It's a regular misdemeanor type citation.
All right. And can you fight it? Can you go in and go, I wasn't playing beer pong.
I wasn't even playing beer pong. I was right next to the person that was playing beer pong. I was part of that group. But yeah, they ended up giving me and my buddies a citation.
It's That's
like,
what happens when you run with the wrong crowd, man.
I need to start changing my ways.
Yeah.
What's their reason behind banning beer pong? That doesn't stop people from drinking.
I don't understand why. I mean, honestly, if you want to play beer pong, yeah, seriously, do it in your own home or something. But I'm a fan of beer pong, so...
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is if you want to play beer pong, you shouldn't have to do it in your own home. You should be able to do it in a bar if you want to. I'm trying to figure out what their goal is in trying to outlaw it. Because, as I said, eliminating beer pong is not going to eliminate people drinking.
No, but you know what I think? If I had to put myself in their shoes, which is difficult, is that they would think that it would make you drink... faster than you would have, maybe?
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's what it is. They think you don't think about it because you're playing a game, so you drink much faster than you normally would.
Which is why beer pong rules.
Yeah.
So now they're going to have to eliminate, State of the Union drinking game and all those games. Other things that require people to drink when something happens, I guess.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, that's too much government. I hope you take that one all the way to the Supreme Court, my friend.
Oh, definitely. I'm on it right now.
Good luck with that.
Let us know. Good luck.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, let's talk to Rick on line one. He's got an interesting question for us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Kevin and Bean, what'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to call and get your guys' advice to see what the master plan protocol is. It's on your screener. I've got 5 kids. Got a vasectomy about a year ago, and I just found out that my wife's pregnant again.
What?
Got a vasectomy, and your wife's pregnant again.
Don't they test those?
Well, I never went back to check and see if my swimmers didn't work.
Yeah.
I just assumed it didn't after a year, and lo and behold.
Yeah.
That's on you if you didn't go back for the test.
Mike, what's your advice?
Leave her.
Leave her.
Because clearly she's cheating. Is that what you're thinking, Mike?
It's not your kid.
Yeah. That
may be a little expensive.
Have you thought of not your kid?
Of course I thought that, but I was quickly shot down, like, how dare you think that kind of a thing.
Well, you don't say it out loud, Rick. How stupid are you?
I guess very.
Well, yeah.
He thought she might have just cracked. She might have, all he had to do was put the slightest pressure on it, and she would have confessed. I don't blame him for trying. But I will say that, I'm sure your doctor was very clear when you got the vasectomy. Hey, we do need to check this in a month or 3 months or however long it is to make sure that we got the job done. And I think I'm with Lisa on that it's kind of on you, dude.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Welcome to kid number, is it, 6, 7, 5, 6?
You think with 4, you'd be triple checking. You'd be in there every week. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to the new quarterback for Florida State. Where does Tebow play?
Florida. Yeah, exactly.
Florida. University of Florida.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Poor dude.
5 kids.
And a 6th on the way.
Can't you go on Maury? I mean, isn't that like...
DNA test?
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to stay married, he can. Sure.
I mean, you're right. It is on him. He should have had it checked. That's the protocol for a...
Yeah, he can certainly wait till the child is born and do a DNA test.
He does have some right, right?
But the problem is, if you do a DNA test, you better be right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you're not, it's all hell will break loose.
Let's try Melissa, also looking for advice. She's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Melissa. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do? Hi, guys.
Hi. What's going on?
Do you think it's weird that a grown man of 35, he's a friend of mine, and all of his friends love The Bachelor? And I'm not talking just for, you know, the nice things to look at, because it's all of the, you know, there's like 25 girls in first out, but
right.
They love the show. Like, he actually shushed me with his finger when I was talking during, like, not a commercial.
All right. First question. Are you hot?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Then no shushing. That's the rule. Hot, no shushing. Especially during The Bachelor.
It's weird. I'll tell you. It's weird.
Are you okay with the fact that they're gay? Because, I mean, that's cool if you're cool with it and you understand it.
I just want to know something. Exactly how queer are you?
Exactly what I said. I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you guys. I was like, you do realize I will never introduce you to another one of my friends again. You completely ruined it.
Seriously. That really does strike me as a chick show that's... I mean, there are some chick shows that are great, some chick movies that are great for everybody. This one seems like it's pretty much just for chicks. It doesn't really seem to cross over.
Well, ever watched it in all the many seasons. I've never been into it personally.
Right.
None of my girlfriends are into it, but I go over to his house and I'm thinking, oh, let's go out, you know, and play some pool. We're like, no, The Bachelor's on.
How old is he? 35?
Yeah.
35 years old.
He's gay.
He must be, and then I guess that means that there's like a big quantity of guys out there that are just all hiding.
No, because, listen.
He's not hiding, by the way. When he watches The Bachelor, he's going, hey, world, check me out.
Not only does he watch The Bachelor, but he has female friends that he's not trying to sleep with. Like, that's two big, big marks of homosexuality.
You say you're hot. Has he hit on you?
Oh, we dated previously, like 3 years ago.
But and then you turned him gay.
I guess they did. When I told him I didn't want to date him anymore, I guess it was just such a big deal to go off Bachelor to get some more love in.
Wow.
Well, I think it's just it's time to just break up with him on whatever night of the week that airs. Just that's not going to be the night that you guys see each other.
I think it's you, Melissa.
Shaky. It does sound shaky.
I got to be honest. I think it's you.
You know what?
Thanks for the call.
Because at least.
Okay. And we learned it doesn't work.
First off. I'm not gay.
Nope.
I'm heterosexual.
No, right. Not if you're watching The Bachelor every week with your boyfriends, you're not.
That is an odd choice.
Well, I was thinking of P and Degrassi High. He loves that show. And Kevin Smith, too. I mean, they're...
And me and Dave.
And you and Dave.
It's not at all fair.
No, okay.
Not in the same category.
It's close.
Because it sounds kind of...
No, it's not.
It's close.
I watch lots of shows, Kevin, that you make fun of for being gay.
Right.
But I'm telling you, none of them are in the category of The Bachelor. The Bachelor is 100% a chick appeal show. There's nothing on that show for dudes because even the women are stupid and hateable. There's nothing on that show.
But they're hot. No?
And there's no humping.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at least Degrassi, you get like the intrigue of relationships and like hot.
We
got to
get Flavor of Love back. We got to get Flavor of Flav back.
That's the kind of show. There's something in that for guys because it's crazy. The Bachelor's just boring too. So there's nothing in it for us. There's something going on with Melissa's friend that she's just in denial about. It sounds like
maybe he's so tired of hearing her talk that he just turns on whatever's on the TV and happens to be The Bachelor.
It.
Possible. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Hey everyone, Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
The creator of Family Guy.
Yes.
Our personal hero, Seth MacFarlane.
Yay!
That's enough.
Yeah. Are we talking to him? What?
We're talking to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You didn't say that part.
Love him.
Okay.
Yeah, I assumed.
Well,
I
wanted to know what we were doing.
You're right.
With him.
Being the interview killer on today's show.
How dare you?
What did Ozzy do with the phone on today's show? The sexy robot on today's show? MMA church? There's an MMA church.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, churches are trying desperately to bring in the younger people. So they're trying to figure out how to appeal to them.
Okay.
So apparently this church
is selling you and then you pray?
It's selling shirts that say Jesus didn't tap.
Pretty awesome.
I'd like to suggest back then, how do you know? Maybe they didn't know what tapping meant and he was tapping like a crazy man. How do you know?
I mean, look, I don't want to get into a big discussion about it, but he did kind of give up. I mean, he clearly could have taken those guys who put him up on the cross and he just went along and just died, right?
Right, but that's not tapping, dude. That's getting choked out.
And it's hard to tap when your hands are nailed to wood.
Well, that's true, too.
Maybe
that would make it hard, too.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
Tap.
Yeah, sure. Lisa Edelstein from House on the program today as well. And we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. A little late.
Damn.
It's 5:54.
You've been hearing about the Super Bowl commercials that have been rejected by CBS for this Sunday's game. Well, there's even more to add to the list. We'll tell you about that coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got some White Stripes, Green Day, and that new song featuring Rome from Sublime coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman.
We also have Lisa Edelstein coming up in the
Cisco. Oh, Cuddy.
Oh, my God.
Cuddy.
Can I hear your Jim Rome impression again, please?
No.
He's not a badger, you know?
How do you know?
He doesn't go, like he's in a cage.
Bean is the man of a thousand voices.
He is.
Do not question the man.
One voice. I'll tell you, this Lost, people are digging it.
Are they?
Paid off for ABC, all the hype about the final season coming back to provide us all with some more spooky thrills. Ratings for Lost are in, and it is up 12% over last season's premiere.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. People digging it. It's the first time ever in Lost's history that a subsequent premiere has bested the previous years.
As
the show has been going along, the ratings for the premieres have getting less and less and less. But this time around, people are really on board. I guess they want to make sure they're part of history as they watch the final season of Lost.
Here's my question.
What happened?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I don't know.
Well, Saeed took a bath in the magic waters. That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
That did happen.
Evangeline Lilly says that she is looking forward to the end of Lost because living on the gorgeous beaches of Hawaii, working there every day, is a lot like prison, she says, because she's literally stuck on an island.
Right.
F you.
Doesn't she surf and stuff?
Yes.
Is this perfect for her?
No, Lisa. It's a lot like prison, she says. Because she's literally stuck on an island. Mm. Poor baby.
But doesn't they film a few months of the year and then she's off to go back to Canada, wherever she wants to go? It's not like she's there for the rest of her life. She can come and go, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
She right. says her dilemma, of course, will disappear soon once the show comes to an end. And she's looking forward to the innate sense of freedom it will bring.
Freedom from that heavy, heavy paycheck
and that
constant good work.
That prison-like island that she's forced to live on while she's working. Wow, I had no idea things were so rough for Evangeline Lilly. Now I feel bad for her.
Well, Hawaii, I mean, if you've ever been there, Ralph, it's practically Alcatraz. I mean, it's really just like being in prison.
It is third world.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock seems like a cool dude.
Really?
She is, of course, going up against Meryl Streep for the Best Actress Oscar Award. Now the nominees are released. We've seen the... She's one of the five nominees. So what Sandra Bullock did was left a voicemail for Meryl Streep telling her to watch her back because she has every intention of taking her down.
That's funny.
Meryl Streep seems like a pretty good dude, too, because she played right along and in return sent Sandra Bullock a bouquet of dead orchids with a little note telling her to die.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sandra Bullock fired back with a case of cheap liquor and told Meryl Streep to toast her white trash roots.
I like it.
So the battle continues as these girls are having some fun with the nominations.
Might they fight
year.
At the Oscars? That would be good.
That'd be awesome. Yes, it would. Cat fight on the stage. One beating the other with the Oscar.
Great. I always wonder if Meryl Streep will ever win again, or if it's just she gets nominated so much that people feel like she already has, so they vote for somebody else. Figure, Meryl's already got hers. But she hasn't won an Oscar in 27 years. Yet she gets nominated, it seems like, every couple of years.
Yeah, it's true.
Doesn't she have like seven of them or something, though?
No, she's only got two, I think.
All right, give her one.
Just because she hasn't had one in 27 years?
Release the hounds. You guys remember Leif Garrett?
The
pop teen idol of the 80s. He was a big star.
Recognize the name.
Chicks dug him.
Did he do like pop music?
He did he was a teen idol.
Yeah.
He was sort of the heir apparent to the David Cassidy's, Donny Osmond's, that kind of crew. He had a song. It was pretty popular, called I Was Made for Dancing. It was a pop hit.
I was made
top
for
10 song?
Dancing.
Yeah. What number was that on the Billboard charts, B?
I think it was about 9.
I Was Made for Dancing.
It was pretty gay.
Nicolette Sheridan was his girlfriend from 1979 to 1985. That's when she was good.
Gay.
That's when she was good, by the way.
Yeah.
That was her prime. Anyway, maybe you've seen the legendary Behind the Music they did with him on VH1, where he confronts his best friend that he crippled in a car accident because he was all loaded up on booze and lewds. Well, that scared him straight, and he's been sober. Oh, no, wait a minute. He just got arrested for heroin.
Oh.
Oh. on Monday.
Ouch.
Apparently, sheriff deputies noticed him sweating and shaking profusely, lying against the wall in the metro station.
Dude.
Here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
They searched him and found a bindle of heroin hidden in his shoe. So, good times.
That kind of behavior is completely unacceptable.
Well done, Leif.
I bet he was still wearing a scarf on his head because he hasn't shown his head since he lost his hair about 25 years ago either.
How much do you know about Leif Garrett?
Well, you see him on TV from time to time. He's one of those guys who just will not show that he's hairless.
Damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
Them crooked vultures. Apparently, they are going to head back into the studio right after their little mini tour this year and knock out another CD.
Awesome.
Yeah. Maybe a second album this year. They're having so much fun that John Paul Jones, of course, ex-Led Zeppelin bassist, told a New Zealand music website that they're going to head in the studio in the summer and they should have a new CD ready by Christmas for release. So some new music from them Crooked Vultures to look forward to.
Thank God, because the last one came out like a month ago.
I'm so tired of them taking all that time in between records. They're popping them out like the Beatles did in the 60s. But every 20 minutes, the Beatles would release a new album.
If you're not familiar with the name Them Crooked Vultures, here's a little bit of what they sound like.
That's me. That's not them.
I'm just glad to have them back in the studio again. I can't wait to see what they do next after that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Gavin DeGraw is 33 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, give me some of that Imbruglia. She's 35 years old today. Rick Burch, bassist for Jimmy Eat World, is 35. Rob Corddry, Daily Show correspondent, funny actor, good dude. He's 39 years old today. Noodles from The Offspring, one of our favorites, is 47 years old. Alice Cooper, legendary rock and roller, is 62. Actor Conrad Bain, who played Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes, celebrates his 87th birthday. And legendary boxer, the Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, local champ here from Los Angeles, is 37. Oscar, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? Any ideas?
As a great champion, I'll do many things here in Los Angeles, where I'm from, from East Los Angeles. Yeah. You know, I'm very proud to be Mexican. I'll have a Mexican cake.
Will you?
It'll be made of very many Mexican things.
Right.
Because I'm a great champion of the people, of the raza.
Sure.
And I will eat
a lot of Mexican things.
Mangoes and avocados and other things of such that come from the area that is known as Mexico, because I'm a great, proud Mexican champion.
Of course,
Golden Boy, thank you very much. Thank you,
Domingo. Okay. He's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I had troubles the other day, guys, and I need your help to decide whether I'm bad or not.
Can I vote now?
Don't you want to hear the circumstances?
No
story?
I'm going to vote yes, you're bad. Lisa, your vote?
Yeah, I'd have to vote yes as
Mike,
well.
Mike, your vote?
Yes.
You are bad.
Come on.
Hey, every once in a while, you come across a dilemma in your day-to-day life, and you have to make a choice.
Right.
And then sometimes you feel good about that choice. Sometimes the choice is so insignificant it doesn't matter to you. You never think about it again. And then there are times, like what has happened to me, is where I have been laying awake at night for the last few nights trying to figure out, did I make the right decision?
Did you kill a guy?
He was a drifter, though, so I felt like, who's really going to miss him, right? It actually was something that we've talked about on the show before. I was at I was in the parking lot at the Petco the other day, and I got out of my car, and it was kind of a surprise to me because I didn't see anyone around me. I was not expecting somebody would come up to me, but instantly there's a guy standing right in front of me, like a foot away, and he's got his hand out, and he's got a bunch of pennies in his hand.
Wait, are you in the car yet or not?
I'm out of the car.
Out of the car.
I'm out of the car in the parking lot, and I kind of get out of the car, turn the door, you know, close the door, and then turn around. This guy is, you know, a foot and a half away from me.
Right.
A little bit unnerving to start, right?
Did you do the right thing, which is to hit his hand from underneath and make the pennies go everywhere and then get in your car and run?
No. What would the point of that be?
Funny.
Plus, I was trying to go to the Petco. So anyway, so he's holding a hand. He's got his hand out, a handful of pennies, and he says, hey, I'm trying to get some change together to catch the bus to Wallingford, which is the community about, I don't know, a mile down the road, right? And my policy generally is, and you know, again, we've talked about this before, what do you do when you get a panhandler? You get somebody on the street asking for money. I mean, a million things race through your mind. Some people, it's just like, yeah, of course I'll help you out, buddy. Why not? And then other people are like, well, what's he really going to use the money for? Is he really trying to get a bus, or is he just trying to buy drugs? And then the other people are, you know, I donate charity in other ways that I feel like are a little better targeted. And that's kind of the guy I've been, you know, for a long time. So, you know, all this is racing through my mind in a second. I said, no, sorry, I can't help you.
Did you pull out a Glock and shoot him?
No, I didn't. And by the way, weird to me that he had a handful of pennies, because isn't it unlikely if you're begging that anyone's giving you – does anyone even give you pennies? Aren't pennies so low down on the totem pole that you don't even give pennies to bums anymore? Wouldn't you be more embarrassed to give a penny to a bum than you would to give them nothing?
Yeah, it really is
isn't
like
a penny.
Nothing.
A penny. It's like leaving a penny for a tip. It's F you is what it is,
an
right?
Yeah.
It's not even money.
There's
right?
one penny.
Right. So it was weird to me that the guy had a handful of pennies, for starters. So I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And then I turned, walked away, went toward the Petco. So he walks around my car to where the person next to me is getting into her car. And this is, I don't know, she's like, you know, maybe I'm reading too much in it, but she looked like she was a struggling single mom or college student. She had a baby strapped on her hip. She's driving a car that was at least 15 years old. And the guy came up to her with his handful of pennies and said, hey, can you help me out? I'm trying to get the bus to Wallingford. And she said, yeah, sure. Let me help you out. I'll be happy to. Hold on one second. She's trying to juggle her kid. She's got a bag in the other hand that she's trying to put down on the seat so she can get to her purse and reach in to hand out. And she gives the guy a buck.
Wow. Now, that didn't make you stop in your tracks and reconsider, did it?
At 100, that's all I've been thinking about is here I am, Mr. Big Time, Mr. Look down my nose, Mr. Hey, be gone with you, who clearly could have helped this dude if he was really trying to catch a bus. And I said, no, I can't help you. And then he goes to this woman who obviously, I mean, I'm not trying to read too much into it because I don't know the woman. Maybe she's, you know, doing great. She seemed like she had a lot on her plate. She seemed busy and harried. She had a baby on one end. She had a, you know, on one hip. She had a, you know, a bag of stuff from the Petco on the other hip. And she went out of her way to struggle at a very inconvenient time for her to give the dude, not a nickel, by the way, a dollar for the bus.
Did you say thanks a lot? Thanks for making me look like an idiot?
I'm thinking she's. Either she's so much better than I am, or I dodged, you know, being taken for a ride by this guy who's going to go use it to buy drugs.
I'm going to say both. I'm going to say she's better than you are, and she may have gotten taken for a ride.
Yeah. Well, he's going to need more than a buck to go get drugs.
Yeah, but
he's
all he has
to
do
is some more people.
Yeah, he's got to find some more people. Yeah. I mean, maybe you know the guys on the street. Maybe it's just law of numbers. Is if you ask 100 people, maybe 20 of them come through. Now you got yourself some money. I mean, you can do something with $20. But I mean,
what would you do, Lisa? Would you give him enough money to buy drugs?
It depends.
I mean, you might as well just go.
It depends.
Here's
$100. I think you look like you need drugs, so I give him money.
All right.
But what's weird is I wouldn't have thought about it again, because you run into homeless people not all the time, but often enough that you've got a policy that you're comfortable with, and that's what you do. I probably wouldn't have thought about it again if I hadn't with my own eyes seen him 15 seconds later go to somebody else and get money, and somebody else who probably didn't have all the money in the world in her situation, maybe not. I don't know. I felt like the worst dude in the world.
All right. Can we vote now? Worst dude in the world. Yes. But you're also a cheap bastard. You're a cheap bastard.
But he isn't when it comes to charity.
I really do.
He
pitches
donate
pennies when he's going out to buy CDs, but he's very generous with charity.
And I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind helping out people who are less fortunate.
No, we can see that from this story.
You kind it's of a want
shining example.
You kind of want
generosity.
I'd rather put it in an organization that I feel like distributes it in a way where it's used for its intent. That's all, rather than just going down this guy's blowhole. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
I mean, honestly, if you did give to everybody who hit you up, you'd be giving away quite a bit of money every week.
Especially those of us that live in warmer climates where they have to kind of congregate.
I mean, every day I see somebody on an off-ramp at least, and that doesn't include, walking into a store and being hit up by somebody.
Yeah.
And by the way, the other thing is, I don't know that this guy wasn't at a freeway overpass. I don't know that he's a beggar or a homeless guy or anything like that. He really could have just been a guy who left his wallet at home or just could have been thought he had money on him and didn't. He could have been a student. I don't know anything about this guy or how legitimate his story was.
Or clothing or whatever. I mean, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, was he
did he shower
he
the last
homeless?
Week?
I mean, he was a little bit grungy, a little bit.
But it's Seattle.
Like I said, exactly. What are you going to do, right? He had Nirvana on a boombox. it could have been a completely legitimate story that he came up a little bit short for bus fare. But I can't stop thinking about that.
Not getting to that town because of you, that's for sure.
Did you check his shoes and go, dude, it's a mile, walk? No, did you say it was a mile? Was that accurate?
It was about a mile.
All right, so walk. What do you need a bus for a mile?
I didn't spend a lot of time with the guy. But
good point.
All right, we're out of time. Let's vote. Am I the worst person in the world, or did I make a call that was defensible?
I say worst person in the world.
I'm going to say worst person in the world. Oh. But I make the same decision a lot and hate myself for it. So I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
F him. It's a mile.
That's what I'm saying. It's a mile.
You can't walk
a
mile.
Like, he's in a wheelchair and he's a veteran and he needs help.
Was he missing a foot?
No. No. He was young. Young guy. He was
young
guy.
You should have killed him.
Yeah.
Should have killed him.
I'm killing him is the answer.
All right. Back to the gun. All right.
Bean's a genius and he's really smart, but he's got no soul and he's got no heart.
Very, very big show today on the Kevin and Bean program. Maybe too much for us to handle. Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy and American Dad, joins us next hour. Also, we'll talk about the $7,000 talking sex robot coming up in about 20 minutes. And Ralph has the showbiz beat. $7,000, by the way, for a robot.
That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. So it seems like you get a lot of, you can get real girls cheaper than that. But anyway, we'll discuss coming up here on the Kevin and Bean show. First, though, give me the big music. Very excited. Although House isn't on again until Monday night at 8, it is appointment television for me. It's one of those shows I can't even DVR and watch the next day. I have to watch it the night it's on. That's how much I love it. And we are very excited to welcome back to the program. It's been a while since we talked to actress Lisa Edelstein. She, of course, is Dr. Cuddy on the show. Hi, Lisa. Welcome back, my dear.
Hi. How are you?
Very good.
We're doing great. Man, House does not disappoint. I mean, this was a show. It was a show when it started in season one. You thought, well, that's a fantastic idea for a show, but how are they going to keep that going? And now, what are we, five, six seasons? Where are we now?
Six seasons.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I know. It's pretty incredible. I love it.
It is great. And tell folks who maybe don't watch The House who you are on the program and why that's such a great character for you to play.
I play Dr. Lisa Cuddy, and I run the hospital, so I'm everyone's boss. I also wear a lot of really beautiful clothes.
Yes, you do.
And extremely high heels.
Yes, you do.
And I am a know-it-all. I'm the kind of the straight man to House.
Now, House is a crazy genius.
And the occasional sex partner.
Yes, right. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on that. The occasional sex partner.
Yeah.
All right.
Got to build it up.
Now, House is a genius doctor that has very bad interpersonal skills, right? I mean, could you fire him if you wanted to?
Yeah, she's the one that hired him.
Okay.
She took out the insurance policy to make sure he doesn't screw it up.
Yeah.
But she's responsible for him being there.
A, there's no show if you fire him. And right. B, he's too valuable to the hospital. I mean, he's the premier doctor.
What if I just hired somebody else who had a similar name?
Like Home? You hired Home?
Like, I hired Home.
That's a great idea.
Or Holmes.
Speaking of the wardrobe on House, by the way, I'm sure that you run into people who work in hospitals. Everybody identifies with the folks on television that are most like the job that they have. They have to come up to you and go, A, there's no way a hospital administrator affords that kind of clothing. And B, how do you get away with wearing such sexy stuff in a work environment?
Well, first of all, it's an imaginary hospital.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't have real patients?
No. So in the imaginary world of Princeton Plainsboro, it is absolutely appropriate.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
And I would like to second that. I would like to say that is a good creative choice.
But I mean, look, our Lisa May, you watch the show too.
Yes.
Don't you think that sometimes it's a miracle that Cuddy can sit down with how tight some of those outfits are? I mean, it's crazy, right?
It is pretty amazing.
Cuddy can't really...
You can't cross your legs.
Very long strides. That's her problem.
Yeah.
Right. Small baby
steps. She minces.
She has to, the knees don't get to separate very much when she's walking. So that requires a lot of hip swing from side to side just to get momentum forward.
Right. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
And again, that's good.
All right. Speaking of the knees being apart, you got this boyfriend on the show.
Yes.
But you're settling for him. I mean, Cuddy wants to be with House. In a perfect world, if she were running things, that's how it would end, right?
I think so.
But yeah, she's still digging.
I think at some point, a lady's just got to do what a lady's got to do.
Right.
Sure.
And really, Cuddy's been hard up for a long time.
Right.
And this guy is young and he's energetic and he shows up and he helps her take care of her life and he's not very complicated. And he satisfies her in ways that she isn't satisfied when she's completely by herself.
We need more hospital administrators that are just begging for it. Right? Don't you think that would be awesome?
I
dress.
Think at some point, if you're not getting what you want, you get what you need.
I hear you.
Yeah. And, I mean, she needs an adult relationship, and she's never going to get that with House. He's more fun, but he's also a pain in the ass, and it's just not worth the drama at her age.
Can you sustain the relationship you think you should have? without ever going back to the relationship you wish you could have?
That's the question. Well put.
Now,
well put.
Everything that we've said, if you didn't watch the show, you would think, okay, this is about the personal relationship between these people. But the medicine part of it is also amazing every week.
The
different diagnoses that they go through and how they kind of rule everything out before they finally get to the thing no one thought of. It's a tightrope walk, and it's really done well.
It's an incredible process. It takes them a long time to write these stories because finding diseases that can be mistaken for other diseases and then finding within all that something that you can tell a cool story around is difficult. And I think it's like a six-month process sometimes for the writers.
They must go crazy. They must go, look, gotta find another disease.
I know. Did you think you're gonna run out of
season
some point?
Six? We've used them all.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, everyone's got syphilis or some kind of weird form of herpes. It's all down to people who are dirty, dirty sex lovers.
Sure. How do you do as an actress with all the doctor speak? Because sometimes, I mean, you're a doctor also on the show, not just administrator. Sometimes
that
you get
correct.
The
thank you for noticing.
Sometimes you get the mouthful of medical jargon too. Is it particularly tough for you, or you do okay with it?
I do okay with it. I really love medicine. I think a lot of those words were never meant for conversation. But once you figure out how to say them, you're fine.
Right.
It's just really funny. We did a read through of a script where there were 8,000 really complicated words, but for whatever reason, everybody kept saying the word enema as anema.
Yeah.
How can you read like 10-syllable Latin medical terms and then say anema?
And then say anema. Yeah.
That's funny.
You're probably thinking about the 10 syllables.
The other word. This is actress Lisa Edelstein on the phone. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about House, which it's a great day for an interview being, you know, Thursday, dog, because House is on Mondays. But we hope you'll remember this interview and tune in. A very special Cuddy episode this coming Monday night. What's it all about?
It's a little bit revealing, too. I have, like, you go into my bedroom, you go into my shower.
Oh!
All right.
It's a bit of a sassy opening teaser. Well, that I didn't want to say sassy opening and leave it at that.
That's all right. You're smart.
And yeah. It looks like there's some actual real trouble in the hospital that you kind of have. You got a big fire to put out, otherwise somebody loses a job, right?
Yes, somebody very important.
And do you have a mouthful of medical jargon on that?
I don't
program
have,
as well.
No, it's not so much medical jargon.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. More legal jargon.
Okay. All right. All right.
Kevin just wanted to ask if you had a mouthful of anything.
That's what he was trying to get you.
Thank you, Bean.
All right, we're out of time, but House is great, and it deserves all the acclaim
so
that it has gotten over
the years.
Oh, we always enjoy talking to you too, Lisa. Seriously, keep up the good work over there. Monday nights at 8 on the Fox Network. We'll talk to you again, my dear.
Bye.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and Ralph is here with a giveaway for you, I believe.
Yes, I've got tickets to the very special advanced screening of The Wolfman.
Oh, Wolf.
From the Universal Pictures classic, The Wolfman comes back. Benicio del Toro stars Thursday, February 11th is the date. You get to see it before anybody else. If you want to go, first five callers, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, first five callers.
It is 657.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. Ralph Garman joins us with yet another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I love Mel Gibson more than I did yesterday. First, he took Sam Rubin to task for being a douchebag. And I guess journalists just don't learn. You'd think they would, being, you know, on the average, a pretty bright group.
Mm.
But there was a guy in Chicago, WGN is the big flagship station there in Chicago, was doing an interview with Mel Gibson about his new film, The Edge of Darkness, and decided to ask Mel, geez, do you think people will accept you after everything that you've done? To which Mel, of course, said, what exactly did I do? And the guy said, well, you know, the drinking and the anti-Semitic remarks. And, you know, he went through the same same category. And Mel was like, look, that was 4 years ago, man. I've moved on. Apparently you have. And gave him, you know, just took him to task. And the guy backpedaled and tried to make nice at the end. And here's the tail end of the clip of the interview. And they didn't turn off Mel's mic as quickly as they would have liked, I don't think.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.
That's awesome.
bet they wish they'd turned his mic off a little sooner.
That's the best.
He's just the best. He's the best.
I mean, Mel knew that there was going to be this reaction from some people because nobody's had a chance to talk to him really in the last 4 years, right?
And you know what? He doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to deal with their BS. So rather than try to come up with some slick, showbiz, lawyerized, you know, have his management team whip up a statement that he would repeat over and over again in interviews, he gets pissed off when people bring up an event that happened 5 years ago.
Asshole.
Hey, I'm fine with Mel. I mean, I don't blame him for wanting to put it behind him. Yeah,
I like the reality of it. The fact that he gets pissed off when people bring this up again. And the fact that he did his time, and he did his community service, and he did all of his apologies, and he's done everything he should have had to have done for this.
I agree.
I think that's why he's kind of cheesed up that people are still jamming him over it. So,
asshole. The best. Asshole.
This is bad news, right?
I don't know. You haven't told us.
Eminem has reportedly patched things up with his long estranged wife, Kim.
No. That's not acceptable.
And
that's
it gets
bad.
Worse.
Nope. They're getting married again.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
Kim is pregnant.
Oh, no.
Hell no.
Yeah, apparently this report claims the couple's expecting a boy.
What's wrong?
They've already got a daughter, of course, Haley, famously. And now they got together, and this happened, and now that happened.
No!
Remember when he was on stage with a blow-up doll of her, and he was stabbing her with a knife? Remember all
brought
that?
A chainsaw and stuff?
This isn't going to end well.
It's not.
No.
What happened?
It's going to end in a murder-suicide is how it's going to end.
Wow, that's bad.
Love, Stan. Jennifer Aniston is involved in an upcoming fundraiser for Haiti Relief. A little late, Jennifer. Now you just look like you're co-signing someone else's loan. She is doing a benefit screening of the Oscar-nominated film The Last Station, which she's not in, which is odd, to raise money for AmeriCares. It's $100 per seat to see the show. If you want to sit near her and meet her afterwards, it's $50,000.
Wow.
So she's not really trying to raise money for anything.
She's trying not to sit next to anyone.
Wait, what do you get for that?
You get a meet and greet with her after the movie.
Not enough.
I better get the popcorn tray for $50,000 while I'm watching the movie. Better be in the back row, and she better disappear for about a half an hour out of the movie. She better start going lower and lower, and then all of a sudden you don't see Jennifer anymore.
And then you do, then you don't. Then you do, then you don't.
That's right.
We, of course, worked with Ms. Aniston on Kevin Bean's Rockstar. I don't know if you remember
that. Stop it. You didn't work with her.
We did. And she was terrific. We met her. She was very, very nice. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even have to pay her. It was awesome.
Do you get
is donkey that why, punch?
Is that why she's been on the show so much? Because you guys hit it off so well on the set of Rockstar? I mean, she is a regular correspondent here on the Kevin and Bean show.
They consider us best friends.
Yeah.
I think there was just a misunderstanding between her people and our people. We haven't been able to smooth that out yet to get her back on.
It's been a 15-year-long misunderstanding.
All right.
So we keep leaving messages. I don't know what happened. They must have changed their number.
Yeah. Miranda Kerr.
My God.
Apparently is a real believer in her product that she models. TMZ caught her shopping at Victoria's Secret.
She models mostly her body, by the way.
But Victoria's Secret,
which I'm a fan of as well.
Models.
Yeah, okay.
She was there this week. TMZ caught her, and apparently she dropped $2,000 on bras, panties, and other lingerie items.
Nice.
Do you think she should get those for free?
Employee discount or something?
What's happening here? Why are they charging her?
$2,000 she spent. Well, she can afford it, first of all.
She makes their product look good.
But second of all, I will pay her double that. For the previously worn stuff. I will pick up that tab and I will give her a $2,000 bonus after she wears it. She just drops it in the mail.
And then write to eBay or it's personal use?
eBay.
I know, I'm just asking.
Making soup.
What direction?
Look at how hot she is. Isn't that crazy?
Right to Fist Bay. That's where it was going.
Oh my God.
Wait
a
minute.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even understand that.
Well, someday maybe you'll understand.
Oh,
God.
Okay. Oh, I see.
By the way, it requires a visual.
You really needed that.
By the way, F. Bean talking to Cuddy from House.
Why are your clothes so tight? You're supposed to be working at a hospital. Wear some more appropriate clothing. F you.
I need her. To.
Yeah, he was complaining about it.
I wasn't complaining.
Why are your clothes so tight there at the
I
hospital?
I wasn't complaining
You're
at all.
You're supposed to be running a hospital. Do you really think you could wear the clothes? That's unrealistic. I think you should be more realistic. You should wear just big, heavy moo-moos and put on some large parkas.
I don't remember moo-moos or parkas, but what I asked her was,
do people who work in the hospital business say to her, you can't wear stuff like that at the hospital as a hospital administrator? It's not work appropriate. I just wondered if she hears that from other people.
Don't even bring that up. You don't even plant that seed. You don't even let that thought catch air. You don't want that.
Don't give that a voice.
Don't put that out there in the universe.
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's what I'm saying.
She's got an unbelievable body, and I'm delighted to see it every week.
It's not appropriate.
It's unrealistic, that's all.
It's unrealistic. It's not appropriate.
Here's my favorite part of that, though. She said, it's not a real hospital.
First of all, it's an imaginary hospital.
You should wear more flowing garments that are more appropriate. More lab coats for you, Dr. Kenny.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Noodles from The Offspring. How much do we love Noodles?
He's the best.
He is the best. 47 years old today. Daily Show correspondent Rob Corddry, also a very talented actor in his own right. 39 years old today. Legendary boxer Oscar De La Hoya. He's 37 years old today. I think Oscar's really retired. You think he's quitting for good? He's going to stay retired, Oscar.
It's hard for me as the great Mexican champion to stay out of the ring. I have to fight for my people.
Right? Yeah. They're not your people. They don't even like you.
I'm the like Mexicans Emilio Zapata. Really like, I fight pretty much the whole Mexican, all the Mexicans in the world. They support me.
They don't.
Their livelihood depends on me.
They don't think much of you at all.
If I don't fight, all Mexicans will die.
No, that's not true at all.
I'm the golden boy. Te quiero mucho. Tu esta ley. I love you.
Natalie Imbruglia is 35 years old today. Kevin DeGraw, the singer, is 33. And Clyde Tumbaugh.
Yes!
Why would you bring that up?
Who at one time discovered a small rock that he said was a planet, but then everyone realized later on was not a planet.
It was just a planet.
It was just a rock, and so they demoted it back to rock status. That dude would have been 104 years old today.
But how about that Pluto?
But he's dead, and deservedly so. No one should be more dead than that guy.
His ashes are on the way to Pluto right now. They're in space, heading toward Pluto, on their 9.5-year mission.
Oh, my God.
Asshole.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk about sex robots, if we can, just for a second.
I think the thing my father finds really difficult about my relationship with Shichan is the fact that she's not alive. You know, she's not a human being.
Right, there's that.
Look, here my whole thing. If they could create a realistic enough sex doll, who needs a woman, right? Who's with me?
Everyone that's normal
needs a woman.
Why deal with all the BS that comes along with talking to an actual human girl if you can get the best thing about a human girl for a couple of grand?
Amen. Says the guy who would buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell me about Roxy. Tell me about my new girlfriend, Roxy. When is she available and what does she do?
Roxy is 5'7", 120 pounds. Apparently, she has been programmed. She's a robot, sex robot.
Okay.
She's been programmed to chat with you endlessly about your interests.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
No.
She'd actually listen to your BS, Bean.
It doesn't say she's programmed to listen. It says she's programmed to talk. I imagine it comes with both, but
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, the first thing I saw when I saw this is Bean would so do that because all women hate him, and rightfully so. And second, he wouldn't want her to talk.
Well, that's true.
Well, there's got to be a switch. There's got to be a way to turn that part.
I don't know. This engineer Douglas Hines apparently unveiled Roxy at the porn industry convention in Las Vegas. Okay. $7,000. She'll have sex with you. She has artificial sex organs. She has sex chat lines that have been keeping men lonely talking to men for a long time. She'll speak to them about whatever they want to say. Want to talk about football? You want to talk about the Super Bowl? She can do that.
Huh.
Okay. Well, first of all, I hope Duavide isn't listening because his mannequin wife is going to seem lacking in comparison. But let's find out more about Roxy the robot. I believe, if I understand correctly from Alex, I believe we have the inventor of the robot, Doug Hines, on the phone with us now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Mr. Hines.
Hey, good morning, Phyllis. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. This is very exciting to be talking about Roxy.
Okay, tell us about Roxy. She's the world's most sophisticated talking female sex robot. Did we accurately describe what it is she can do?
You did. It's a project I've been working on for some time. It's been a dream of mine.
Right.
And it's so great to see everyone, you know, enjoying her so much and, you know, getting such a great reaction from people.
Now, B would like to know if there's an off switch for the conversation.
A lot of people have been asking me that.
Right.
And, yeah, sure. You can turn it off if you want to. There's a lot of features that she has.
Okay.
That you can turn off or on according to whatever you enjoy. I mean, it's,
like what?
She can snore.
She can snore? Sleeping. Why would you want
why?
That?
Why, yeah.
Some people like it. It feels more comforting to have, you know, the noise coming from someone in bed with them while they're sleeping, and so they enjoy that. But
I've never heard of that, but all right.
It's a feature that can be turned off and on.
Okay.
Sometimes we can set it up so that she'll talk in her sleep as if she's mumbling while she's sleeping.
Okay. Oh. Is that sexy talk? Or?
No, it's just, you know, it's for companionship.
I see.
To make her as realistic as possible so people, you know, can really enjoy being with her and being like, you know, she's like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Yeah, yeah. I hate to ask this because you're a brilliant man to have invented such a great device, but was it because perhaps you didn't have a lot of actual women in your life?
No, you know, a lot of people ask that, but no, it's it's not the case.
That is the case, by the way.
I'm very happily married.
You're not. Come on.
I've been married for 23 years.
You're not married.
No. Yeah,
stop
sure.
it.
No, I am married, and so it's just something I know there are other guys out there who, you know, are maybe inventors or scientists or don't have as much luck with women that I've had with. And so this will keep them, you know, give them someone to spend some time with, even if it's, you know, it's not the real thing. It's as close as, you know, as they can get.
I do know that later in the story, 4,000 men have already placed orders.
Wow.
For this robot.
It was amazing how popular Roxy was when we first displayed her, and the people are lining up. I mean, we're going to start manufacturing them, you know, as quickly as possible.
Not that I doubt your story, but is your wife there?
No. Hmm. She's out.
Out.
And has been for how long?
She's out with...
out cold? What? Out of the house?
She dates a lot.
She dates a lot.
Not really around here much at the house.
Well, that's not much of a relationship that you have.
You know, it works for us. I mean, everyone's got different types of relationships.
Are you dating around as well then?
No, it's just me and Roxy most of the time here alone in the house. So
right.
We have a lot of time to spend talking and sharing our feelings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Does Roxy ever tell you to go away and shut up? Because I picture that happening.
No, that's not the case at all. That's the most wonderful thing about having a companion like Roxy is that she's very, very supportive, and she's also, you know, very compliant when it comes to, you know, what you want to talk about and what your likes and interests are, which is great.
And she's home. And that helps.
Yeah, she's amazing. Would you like to talk to her?
Roxy? Yes.
Oh, what?
Sure.
Can we?
Roxy?
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I didn't know she could talk on the phone.
Hello, is this Roxy?
It's so realistic.
Hello?
Roxy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
There
can
we go.
Oh, there she is.
Yes, we can now. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. So, we're still working on the speaker prototype.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not incredibly realistic, I got to tell you.
Hello. I am Roxy.
Okay, better.
1.0.
Better. Okay.
Oh, hi, Roxy.
Kind of sounds like
Roxy. There's an awful lot of noise going on, though, that I think would be distracting if you were, you know, trying to make sexy time.
Well, that's just her servos. I mean, in order to make her operate like a real person, she has to have motors to operate her joints and her limbs and such.
Right. But it's so loud.
Well, we're working on trying to muffle that.
Okay.
That's a good idea. Now, Doug, can I actually talk directly to Roxy and ask her some questions?
I am Roxy 1.0. Hi.
Okay. Roxy, what about this stiff Doug that you're living with? You got to get rid of that dude, right?
I love Doug.
You
Doug
do.
Doug created me.
Mm-hmm.
I owed everything to Doug. I'd be nothing without Doug.
Wow, she's good. What kind of stuff does he make you listen to him talk about?
We talk about anything he wants to. What's your name?
I am falling very deeply in love here.
What's your name?
Bean.
Hi, Bean. How are you?
Hi, Roxy. I'm good.
What sort of things do you enjoy talking about?
Well, mostly Pluto.
Pluto?
The former planet?
What kind of effing crap is that?
Whoa, hold on a sec. I thought you would talk about whatever anybody wanted to talk about.
I would, but you're a douchebag.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very excited about this. We have been puzzled for the last 20 hours what happened during our interview with Ozzy Osbourne yesterday. And I thought it was going pretty well up until the point where I asked the question about him trying to strangle his wife, Sharon.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, you'll hear it in the tape here in a second, in his answer, somehow the phone just disappeared, like right in the middle of an interview. What could possibly have been going on?
So welcome to our new feature.
What did Ozzy do with the phone?
What did he do with the phone? We can't figure this out. It doesn't sound like he just turned away from it a little, like he
right.
can still be clear, but kind of off.
Yeah, you can tell what that sounds like.
Right. It sounded, here's what happened, and then you tell us what happened.
Was that the lowest point of your entire life?
Yeah, but that still didn't stop me doing it. So I mean
okay, that's where we lost him. Now you can still hear him, so the phone has to be somewhere near his mouth. Is it just at his chest or...
I don't know, but I could barely understand him when it was clear.
I know.
Right. So to me, this was, oh no, he's stuck it up his ass or something. What do we do? Because now it certainly can't be understood. I didn't know whether to interrupt or say something about it, but
he keep rolling the tape because he keeps talking as if he's still having a regular
yes.
conversation. On his end, he's not aware that anything is different. So that would suggest to me that he didn't move the phone or something. But you'll hear on the tape that it does kind of come back on its own.
When I went to the Betty Ford Center, they told me about
it. We're shaking our heads. We're looking around.
What do we do? Oh, you didn't believe that it was true. What happened to the phone? Are you?
Did you turn the phone around backwards, Ozzy?
No.
There you are. There you go. Now we're back.
All right. All right. So we asked him about it, and then it was fine.
He did something, because then he undid it.
So if we asked him about it, and it was fine, what are the chances, timing-wise, if it was a loose connection or something?
No.
He put it up his ass.
I really did feel like somehow he turned around and was... It sounded to me like he was talking into the side you listen in.
Right, but it wasn't... Like. To me, it would still be... It would be like if I was over here. It's still clear, but you could tell I'm not talking right into the... To the end
yeah,
of the
he
phone.
Put that phone somewhere.
That phone was covered. Somehow it was so muffled that you couldn't hear what he was saying. What could have possibly happened that then when we asked him about it would just write itself?
Uh-huh. What did Ozzy do with the phone?
Look, it's a miracle that Ozzy's alive. God bless him. The fact that he was up in the morning to talk to us on the phone is incredible. I mean, I feel like the fact that he talked into the phone for most of the interview is about all we can hope for.
It's a win.
It is a win.
We have Ozzy on the phone now. Hi, Ozzy.
He's back.
Kevin Levine, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
Great. It's time to play America's favorite new game.
What did Ozzy do?
Let's meet our contestants for what does he do with the phone? From Seattle, Washington's Bean Baxter.
We're doing this feature.
Bean is a radio personality.
Ozzy,
we're not... to talk about Pluto.
Okay.
Pluto Baxter, what is your guess? What did Ozzy... with the phone.
We were hoping you would tell us.
You were there. You were the one who had the phone in your hand, Ozzy. We were hoping you could just share with us what happened.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the right answer.
Okay.
Thank you for playing.
I have a guess.
Next up is Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
He has a radio personality. He also is the Duke of Tarzana. Kevin, what's your guess of the Kevin? Kevin put the phone, and where
Ozzy,
did he put it?
Where do you put it? Yeah. I think in your ass. That's my answer, in your ass.
In the butt.
Mm-hmm.
In the butt.
Is that correct?
I'm sorry, it's not a correct answer.
Not correct, okay.
Now Ozzy Osbourne is our next contestant.
Oh, good. I was hoping he would play.
Ozzy from Canada. And he
England.
Singer and comedian.
Not a nope. comedian.
Nope, just a singer, maybe actor.
What is your guess?
We can't hear you, Oz.
This is
Ozzy. We can't make out what you're saying again.
Ozzy.
You're absolutely right, Ozzy.
What happened? Wait.
You what was the answer?
What did Ozzy do with the phone? Thanks for playing. See you next week.
Oh.
What did Ozzy do with the phone?
Family Guy centers around
a typical New England family.
You can't ask me to make dinner, Lois. It's like asking me to choose between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kirsten Dunst in a hot body weird face contest. It can't be done.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Fat chicks need love, too, but they gotta pay.
I'm a bigger hit with the kids than Will Smith and his nice, clean rap.
Woo! I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park or maybe a museum, and I only try to kiss them if they're ready. Woohoo!
Fess up or I'll do to you what I did to John Lennon.
John, have you met Yoko? Yoko, John?
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a...
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly...
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
We've been saying it our whole lives. We'll be saying it till the day we die. Seth MacFarlane should be running all shows.
Well, apparently we can now.
Shocking, isn't it?
Come on, well, that Supreme Court decision that just came out about they can't regulate First Amendment corporations,
Seth.
Blah, blah, blah. Come on.
That's so cute. That's so cute that you think that.
Seth, you probably know this because you're in the same sort of business that we are, but you can say less now on radio and television than you could say a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago even.
Yeah. It's funny because I was reading an article about this thing. It's okay for a corporation to speak out on which candidate they want to elect to run the most powerful nation on earth.
But they can give as much money as they want. Right,
but it's not okay for them to say vagina.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, what is happening with this country?
That's why we love you and your show, because you figure out a way to work in a song about AIDS. Who else is trying that?
I don't know. I think Seventh Heaven was doing it for a while.
Seth, you have so much going on. Every time we talk to you, I just feel like we have such a limited amount of time and so much to catch up on. I have to ask you about a couple things real quick, and then we'll tell the kids how they can meet you and see you and raise money for a great cause. First of all, true or false, were you on stage the other night at an event where you were singing a duet with Adam Levine of Maroon 5? Did that happen?
Yes, sir.
Right. What's going on with your world?
You know, we did an event at the Avalon Theater with our wonderful Family Guy orchestra, and he showed up Rat Pack style and jumped on stage and did a number with me. So I figured I'd return the favor.
How about that?
Sweet. Now, was Tom York from Radiohead DJing that night? Was that the same party?
That I believe so, but I'm
wow. Are you sure you didn't dream that?
Yeah, it's very possible. All I could be dreaming this right now. It's so damn early.
All right, next question: true or false? The great Seth MacFarlane is somehow in the Tooth Fairy movie.
Yeah. I think I pull off leotards pretty smartly.
That's so bizarre. How
you lose
why?
A bet?
What happened?
I keep getting asked that I lose a bet.
Either lost a bet or it's a good friend thing. You're paying back somebody for something.
Yeah, you know, the Rock is actually a very very cool guy.
Okay,
he's a Family Guy fan, and you know, did our show, and
but you know that the slogan is they can't handle the tooth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
checking on that.
I know it. I know it now. It seemed like a fun gig. You know, it's the kind of thing that's it's nice to get away from the cartoons for a few days and put on a pair of wings.
Okay. All right.
What was the show that we saw you on, Seth, that shocked everybody? Was it like Flash Forward or one of those like super serious TV dramas that you showed up
actually,
in?
I actually just shot another episode of Flash Forward. That's about a week and a half ago.
See, you are mysterious, man. Just when we think we've got you figured out, you figure out a way to throw us a curveball.
Flash Forward is co-created by my very good friend Brandon Braga, who of whom I am a huge fan. So that was just something that seemed like it's a really cool show. It's a
great show. It's excellent. I can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah, it's so that's I couldn't say no to that. It was too much fun.
Do you work on A, the Cleveland Show, B, the Family Guy, C, American Dad at all?
Yeah, well, most of my time on a daily basis is spent on Family Guy.
Okay.
The Cleveland Show and American Dad, I spend less time there on a daily basis, but you know, I do try and stay involved with all three, but Family Guy is, you know, it is still sort of the baby, and it's
the franchise.
Yeah. So
okay.
Our
friend Seth MacFarlane is on the phone. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. There's a lot of variations of what you get when you go to see Seth MacFarlane live. A lot of different combinations involving music and scripts and shows and whatnot. Tell us about what's happening Friday night, February 12th. That's a week from Friday at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. Something that sounds like it's very special for fans of yours.
Yeah, well, this is a Haiti benefit that we're doing in conjunction with the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And they have a live show as well that they put up from time to time, as do we. And so we're kind of doing sort of a double feature thing where we're both doing our live shows together.
And comedian Jeff Ross is going to be the MC.
That's what I hear.
Pretty strong.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Tickets available for $59. You can get them through LiveNation.com. Have you guys done your show in a room as big as the Gibson before, Seth?
We did it at Carnegie Hall, believe it or not.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Boy, did he shut me down.
Nice. Yeah, just a little place called Carnegie Hall. You think of that?
Yeah, we sold out 10 nights at the O2 in London. What do you want to know, Bean?
Played Wembley.
Yeah, it's a great, well, you know, you actually need a large venue because we bring our orchestra with us.
Sure.
Sometimes it's, that's anywhere from 20 to 50 people,
wow,
depending on the songs that we're doing.
It sounds like a really, really fun event. I don't watch the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Am I making a mistake there, Seth? Is that a show you recommend?
That's a show that a lot of very, very funny people I know like. I'm so unfamiliar with so much of what's kind of hot on TV right now, and I'm trying to remedy that. But
do you have time to watch TV at all?
Not really. I watch Bill Maher. I never miss that show, but I that's the only show I sort of make appointment viewing.
Gotcha.
Jersey Shore, right. You need to check out. That's
yeah,
Jersey Shore.
In that. That show, the thing about that show that kind of scares me though is did you ever see Contact?
The movie?
The movie with Jodie Foster?
The movie.
Yeah.
About the book Contact. How they say that all of our TV signals and whatnot are in effect ambassadors to space. And if there are any alien civilizations, this is who's going out there and telling them about us. So we want the Jersey Shore guys doing that. We want big, big, loud New Jersey people telling the aliens that we're all like that.
I think I'm going to go with yes, because then they won't bother us. They won't think there's anything worth coming here for. That's probably a good plan.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the deal again, because this is new information for you. The Haiti Benefit features the cast of The Family Guy and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia doing their tremendous live stage shows. Jeff Ross emceeing the event. It is a week from Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City Walk. Tickets are $59, which sounds like a great deal for so much entertainment. Go to LiveNation.com. And how about this for Kevin and Bean listeners? A pair of front row seats right now and meet and greet passes so you can shake Seth MacFarlane's hand. We're giving that away right now. How about that?
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We will take caller 20 right now if you'd like to go and sit in the front row and meet Seth MacFarlane. Seth, you're the best. We don't have you on as often as we would like, but thank you for coming on today.
Hey, thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you. Hey! It's kind of more for an upbeat song, I think. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 2 minutes till 8.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it Ralph's birthday or anything today? I feel like we're doing the tribute to Ralph show with his favorite TV doctor, Cuddy, on earlier.
Yeah.
He's at Edelstein. We just had his boss, Seth MacFarlane, on the show. Like, what the heck's going on? Did you book the guest today, Ralph?
I had nothing to do with it, but it is a lot of things I like.
Yeah, no
I likey. Me likey.
Something called Being the Interview Killer coming up next hour. I have no idea what that's about, but right now Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday, or as Miss Cleo calls it, hump day. What's going on, Ralph?
She thinks Thursday is hump day?
Yes.
For some reason, we put her in charge of anything, and she on our MySpace page apparently said, happy hump day, everybody.
Please check out the Kevin and Bean Show today. Have a good hump day.
We got to start banging her, or there's no reason to keep her around, seriously.
I agree. She can't do the work. What's the point?
We certainly need to take the keyboard away, I'll tell you that.
Speaking of me likey, I want to thank all the listeners who came out last night to the Improv out in Brea, California. See me and Adam and Alonzo Bowden and Chris Hardwick. We had a very fun show last night. I'm loving these live events. I haven't been on a stage in a long, long time, and you forget how much fun it is to go out there in front of people and hear the laughter, you know? Adam and I had a blast.
No one here laughs, I'll tell you that.
No, we very rarely have any reason to laugh here on this show, but...
We're doing it again next week. If you want to come out, if you missed it and you'd like to see it, it's in Ontario, California this time around. Next Wednesday night at the Improv there in Ontario. You can find out more information at adamcarolla.com or at theimprov.com. But we're going to do it with the Dan Band. And those guys are always
great.
Fun. And Jeffrey Ross is going to be.
Oh, he's the best.
Wow. You know, I don't know how I'm going to fare once a real comedian is standing up on the stage, but if I go first, I should be fine. That's the way I look at it.
I love how Ralph will drive to Ontario to work for free to be with Adam.
We have trouble. I was just thinking that.
We have trouble getting Ralph to go anywhere, do anything for us, and we pay him.
But it's really fun to work with fun, nice people that you like. I'm rediscovering the joy of that.
Like you do here.
Yeah.
All right, time for the Showbiz Beat.
But you should encourage that behavior because it makes me happier overall.
That's true.
And right. So everyone wins. That's what I'm
saying. Okay, all right.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's what I'm telling
you. I've heard that. I don't know where, but I've heard that.
10 cc's of medicine. That's what it helps you. Tonight on The Insider, I would never recommend The Insider to anyone.
It's a terrible show.
It's a horrible program to watch. But I might have to watch tonight.
Why?
Because they have a special in-depth interview with Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. Oh.
What is it now?
And not only do we, this week, not only do we find out her situation with her crazy dad, Michael Lohan, who's in prison again, but apparently Niecy Nash, who is now one of the Insider hosts, but is also the host of Clean House. Over on
what? Clean House?
What's happening? Clean House? Clean House is the best.
I've never seen Clean House. How can that be good?
How can you've never seen Clean House? It used to be hosted by a good pal of mine, Lisa Art. She was the host. She's moved on.
She wasn't a good pal of mine, so I wasn't aware of it.
But I started watching because of her, and I kept watching.
What do they do? Do they clean a house?
I stayed for the pie. That's what happened.
Do they clean a house?
No, I came for the pie. I stayed for the food. Yeah, that's what happened.
Clean House.
Okay, yeah, clean house. I'm out.
You call the clean house people when you are such a hoarder that you cannot move in your house.
So it's like hoarders.
But it's better because it's clean house. Because they come in and they look at your situation and they have a giant garage sale and they force you to sell stuff and then they fix your house up so that you can live in it and they redecorate and everything. It's fascinating.
1 month later, it's back to the same thing.
So Niecy Nash is the new host of that show.
Okay.
And we find out this about Lindsay Lohan.
And is Lindsay a secret celebrity hoarder?
Tell me what you need.
I just need to get rid of stuff.
A bedroom turned into a shoe closet. Her living room filled with clutter.
That's personal stuff that I have to, you know, work on.
Tomorrow on The Insider.
You should see her house. She can't move in the living room.
Are you serious?
Boxes and boxes of just crap.
We have to see that.
Oh, that music makes it sound like it's the most important story ever.
It's like a Guitar Hero piled on top of this pile of clothing, piled on top of furniture stacked to the ceiling. It's nuts.
And well, she gets free stuff, right?
And she has one bedroom that is just box, shoebox after shoebox after shoe piled to the ceiling. And it's like a path about a foot and a half wide that you can walk through.
My horse is up by Lindsay's house, and I'm constantly driving by her house. And it's in the Hollywood Hills where there's beautiful mansion, beautiful mansion, beautiful mansion, and all the front yards are impeccably taken care of. And you get to her house, and there's paparazzi in front, and it's totally disheveled. The grass is grown high. There's weeds everywhere. It looks like no one cares for it.
Apparently, she's not hoarding a lawnmower. That's one thing she's not hoarding. But tonight on The Insider, it's an inside, in-depth interview into celebrity hoarder Lindsay Lohan.
That may be requiring some follow-up. By the way, we have often said, how does she make a living? This is the sort of thing she's doing now, is paid interviews with shows that want to get her on. She's getting paid for this.
Wow.
All right.
Interesting story coming up from the Kardashians.
Glendale.
Apparently, Kourtney is in for a fight. She, of course, the sister of Kim and Sasquatch.
Kardashian, Khloe.
Turns out her ex-boyfriend, Michael Girgenti, wants a paternity test.
Uh-oh.
Because he believes that her son, Mason, may be his and not her current boyfriend, Scott Disick.
How old is Mason?
Maury. And you are not the baby's father.
Oh, no way. Mason's got to be what, a couple of months old is all?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, he's brand new. But Michael thinks he could be his swimmers.
Wow.
Contributed. Did you ever watch the Kardashian show at all? Did you ever see any of this?
Occasionally.
This Scott Disick is a tool.
Is he?
Ridiculous.
He walks around, I'm not kidding you, with a sweater, with the arms of the sweater tied around his neck.
He's a preppy kind of a...
And it's like, does he think he's the Great Gatsby? Who's rocking that look anymore? His hair slicked back.
I'm Buffy, I'm going to the tennis club. I'll meet you for mint juleps after the second set.
That's odd.
He's ridiculous. Anyway, I had to watch this week because they had the boxing episode on the charity boxing event. That was awesome.
I saw part of that.
That's like watching Kim Kardashian get pummeled.
Just get wrecked.
That was awesome. All right. I think I'm out of time. I'm going to move on to birthdays, shall I? Yes.
Yes.
Shall you? Nadia Imbruglia.
Oh, my God.
She is...
You guys remember her song?
No. What was her song, P?
Go ahead and sing some. At least we do need one song.
That's a great wing.
No time for a second take, huh?
That's Wing. That's Wing.
No
that's...
time for a second take with Wing? Is that what I'm feeling from this?
Her song was Torn. Her big number one hit was called Torn.
How did that go? I can't remember.
I am not the guy to ask. Yeah, I've learned my lesson about singing songs on this show.
Perhaps DJ Omar Khan could whip us up a clip for next.
No,
I think
good.
You recognize it. It's a big number one hit. I think you guys would recognize it.
I want to hear you sing it.
Well, I don't remember the words, unfortunately. Mm.
Sure.
Natalie Imbruglia is 35 years old. Jimmy Birch, nope, Rick Birch of Jimmy Eat World. He is 35 years old today. Former boxing champion Oscar De La Hoya is 37 years old today. You think he'd like to fight Manny Pacquiao again?
I doubt it.
I want him to fight Kim Kardashian.
That'd be awesome. Daily Show correspondent Rob Corddry, he's also a very talented actor. He is 39 years old today. Noodles from The Offspring is 47. Alice Cooper, shock rocker, is 62 years old today. It's not as shocking anymore when you look back on Alice's stuff.
He's been 62 since I was born, by the way.
But he's one of those guys who always wore makeup, so you never really knew what he looked like, so he always looks the same, which is a very clever idea. And actor Conrad Bain, who played Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes, is 87 years old today and doing better than Gary Coleman. That's all you need to know.
Wow, that's true. Are not kidding.
That is true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right, let's talk about being the interview killer.
Being the interview killer.
Now, what's this all about? I do my best to, you know, keep the interviews going and ask some questions. What are you talking about?
We were talking to Mark Valley, who is the star of Human Target.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a show on Fox.
Great new show on Fox. It's been on, I think, three times. It's it's like a whole action movie in one episode.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Every week. So we asked for Mark Valley. We had him on. And Bean, at one point, makes a joke. And Ralph and I and Lisa, I think you can hear, are all groaning. And then I think Mark, our guest, on the phone, puts it into sharp focus.
What's great about Human Target, I think, is that when they do the inevitable porn knockoff, they don't even have to change the title. I mean, you got to love that.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. You got to love that.
Really?
What? What did he say? Really?
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
The guest. Usually, here's what happens with guests. Usually when they hear something bad, they just want to kind of avoid it because they're not here and they don't know our pacing or our sense of humor or whatever. So they won't say anything.
They'll just be polite.
Right. You just say, be polite and go, okay, I didn't think that was funny, but maybe these guys do or whatever. They never, ever go, really? Like, couldn't keep that from coming out.
But it wasn't like, I mean, you say be the interview killer. We were near or at the end of the interview.
Okay, it doesn't mean you didn't kill it just because we were at the end.
Right, but it was just, I mean, it was just a throwaway kind of a one-off, like, ha-ha, because we've all thought that, haven't we? When you heard the name Human Target, isn't one of the first things you thought is, oh, it sounds like a porn movie.
It is, but then... I don't have really the attention span to hold on to that kind of thought because it's really, you know, it's childish.
So right, but in that call.
I chuckled and then moved on.
But I kept hearing, everybody kept saying, oh, Human Target this, Human Target that. And I just kept thinking,
oh, I got to say it.
All right.
Doesn't it break your heart then to hear him say.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Don't say that.
Right. Instantly, what's going on in that moment is Mark Valley, star of Human Target, is saying to us, I'm never doing this stupid show again.
Right. What have I got myself into?
Essentially, I'm burning a bridge with potentially, you know, the star of the next big action TV franchise. Look, I'm not saying it didn't go over poorly.
He probably yelled at his publicist afterwards as well. For don't ever put me on that show,
right? Yeah. I mean, it bobbed. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, then.
But
looking back on it.
Look, it bombed, but what I'm... Look, I'm giving you that it bombed. I'm meeting you halfway here. What I'd like you to give me, though, is you can understand why I said it and why there was at least a possibility that it would have gone over okay, that it would not have been a disaster. It might have been just kind of a funny ha-ha to get out of the interview with.
Well, it's definitely a groaner.
Look, I'm the most childish person here. I was done with that joke 2 weeks ago. How if okay. I'm not interested in it, if I'm not the one that says it, come on with that. You're going to hold on to that and then use it at an opportune time? No, you discard that as ridiculously dumb.
But you don't get it. Human target as if like the woman in the porno would be a target. That's the whole... That's
really? I don't...
Really?
I think we can.
Pizza! I'm just saying.
Really?
What?
Wow.
Really?
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry about that, Mark.
Sorry.
Be the interview killer.
I don't know what it's like for you, Kevin, if there are bands that you still get so excited about, you can't wait for their new record to come out, and the day it comes out, you make sure to buy it because you can't wait to hear it.
Rage Against the Machine comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
And they haven't had a new album in eight years. Muse, so you wait a long time for them, right?
Muse comes to mind.
Yeah, Muse comes. If you knew Muse had an album coming out Tuesday, you'd be salivating for Tuesday to get here as you get your hands on it. Well, that's how I felt yesterday when one of our Kevin and Bean internet listeners, God bless Kelly from South Carolina, who listens to the show religiously out there, tipped me off to the fact that not only is Wing back with a new record, which, by the way, Wing is, if you haven't heard her, she lives in New Zealand. She's about, I don't know, she's got to be about 50, don't you think?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
And she's of some Asian persuasion. Her English maybe isn't as good as it could be, yet that doesn't ever stop her from delivering one powerhouse vocal performance after another. Her new record, Kevin, is called Too Much Heaven, and it is a tribute to the Bee Gees. Okay?
Why so soon?
Timely. Here's a little bit of Wing, and then there's even more that I can't wait to tell you about the best possible news for Wing fans like us. But first, let's enjoy a little of Wing doing How Deep Is Your Love. And for folks who don't know the Bee Gees, they were Australian, and they sang in really, really high voices. Okay?
Falsetto, yeah. Super high.
Falsetto, super high voices. Wing isn't anywhere near a good enough vocalist to attempt. And as this song goes on, with every single verse, and particularly when you get into the chorus, she's going to have to go up from where you're already hearing her singing. Listen as she tries to even get higher. Let's see how Wing does.
And you come to me on my support. Please keep me warm.
Can she hear the music, or is she singing independently of whatever is going on the other side of the glass in the studio?
I don't think so. But here's why I know there are other people like me in this world. She has 15 albums.
People are buying Wing.
Because she's so bad. And I'm sure South Park had a lot to do with it. That's where I recognize. I saw the South Park episode. The kids went into management of a singer. Mm-hmm. And there was this crazy person named Wing. And she was singing. I was like, there's nobody that bad. And I watched the credits. And it said Wing as herself. So I went online, and she's got 15 albums for real.
It's crazy. And she generally only does old songs, you know, pop hits from the 60s and 70s. Occasionally she'll get into the 80s. I know she has an album that has the Michael Jackson song Beat It on it. But I can't wait to hear that. One of the reasons that Kelly was tipping us off to go back to the Wing website is she now has a special offer, which I love so much. You can have Wing call your friend and sing happy birthday to her. You know, set it up in advance. You know, their friend's birthday is coming up. Wing will call and sing happy birthday for $7.
Wow.
So you pick up the phone and say hello, and she just starts singing?
Well, I see, this is why I feel like we need to get Wing back on the show. If you don't want happy birthday, you can have Wing sing any of the great songs from her vast repertoire for only $10.
All right, here's what I'd like to suggest. I would like to suggest that we start the show. Can we get a good morning call from her?
Well, I mean,
singing one of her hits at the same time every morning.
Oh, that would be so great. $10 a
day. What did we figure it was? Like midnight there or something?
What's she got going on? How many people are requesting this, honestly?
Anyway, we've asked producer Alex to get on the case. It generally takes us a long time to get Wing on the phone. For whatever reason, it's hard to get a hold of her. She's very, very busy, I guess. But if we could get Wing to call us and start singing to us live on the phone, how awesome would that be?
Yes.
Remember the duet with the Armenian comedian?
The best.
Hells yeah.
Listen to that. And they say drum machines don't have souls.
Her or Sam?
Sam. Taking everything in my stride.
Here's what I know. I know that there's somebody across the window from her, and this is the genius that's going, that was so good. That was perfect. You nailed it. It'll never get it better. It's a wrap. And she goes, I can try. Nope. That was perfect, just like it is.
My friends are going to be there.
Is on the highway to hell. I gotta be honest.
Well, we do need to get her on.
Marcy Playground.
That's what
efforts.
I'm talking about.
106.7 K-Rock is Kero Q at 8:39.
And
don't forget the big game party Sunday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa featuring Pepper and our own Gay Psycho Mike.
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We see a lot of stories, and some of them we just can't get our head around, and that's why we have to ask Alex to find us somebody for follow-up. Apparently, there is an up-and-coming rage in evangelical churches in this country. I mean, in the hundreds now, Kevin, there are churches that combine the teachings of the Bible with MMA fighting.
This is the whole younger people aren't getting into church, so we need to reach out to them in a way that will attract them to our churches.
Okay.
And I thought the whole church thing is all about, you know, peace and love, not necessarily, you know, beating a guy's head in, but apparently they have figured out a way to combine the two. We have many, many questions about this trend. As I say, there are hundreds of churches around.
700, this article says. How's that possible?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and
this
some
is a
of
big
them,
trend.
Yeah. Some of them they have services and then they watch, you know, pay per view or MMA fights on television. Some of them they have actual fighting where you go and you sit there and you listen to the service and then you go out of the parking lot and you actually fight guys. It's just crazy.
There's
right?
a place in Nashville that is called Extreme Ministries, and the school's motto is "Where feet, fist, and faith collide."
There you go.
So good times with that. That's what you're looking for in a church.
So apparently we do have one of the reverends who works at an MMA church. His name is, well, it's Ed Hardy, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rev. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm dropping bones in the dome for Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah! Is there any way you can not fight and instead talk to us on the phone, Rev?
Sorry, got some of the disciples doing a little workout here. Sorry. You know, okay. The devil never takes a day off, and neither do we.
Okay.
All right. I understand. Well, maybe you can explain a little bit, because I'm a little foggy on the concept. How do you use fighting to teach the what Jesus believed?
I'm sorry. What was that question again?
I said, how do you use fighting to teach the word of God?
Because that's what Jesus would do if he was still here, man. He'd be kicking ass and taking names.
I thought Jesus was the whole turn the other cheek guy.
All right. So his defense need a little bit of desire right there. But actually, he's got some amazing moves, like the Sermon on the Full Mount. You ever see that move?
I did not. No,
what a submission hold. The stigmata on the plata.
Wow.
You know, there's a move called a crucifix.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
no.
From the side control, you pull your opponent's arm between your legs and cross your legs, locking it there.
Right.
With one hand, you pull down your opponent's other arm,
right,
allowing your free arm to punch an elbow with unprotected head. Now
wow.
That is Jesus right there.
How
punching somebody in their unprotected head?
I don't claim to be an expert, but I don't think Jesus ever punched anyone in their unprotected head.
God gave us two fists, brother. What do you think they're there for? To pound people in the face.
Okay.
Are you with me?
No.
Couldn't somebody argue that the hands are there to, to hand out food, to help the poor, to work a good, honest living?
Weak like the devil. I'd rather use my hands for a rear naked choke hold.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No. Do you sell the t-shirts that say Jesus didn't tap?
Absolutely. Jesus didn't tap, neither do we.
I don't want to anger, you know, religious people, but how do they know Jesus didn't tap?
Because he didn't.
His hands weren't exactly available.
He never tapped.
Right, but...
Hold on. Wait. Time out. His hands weren't exactly available.
I'm saying, how would we know?
Is that some sort of crucifixion
reference? I'm saying, how do we know he didn't tap?
Wow.
Yeah.
Me?
Wow.
What, me? I'm selling the t-shirts Jesus didn't tap.
Mother Mary, First Lady of Muay Thai, please forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Mother Mary's the First Lady of Muay Thai?
I'll say a prayer for you, brother.
All right.
No. Are you with me?
No. What? Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:52.
Ralph Garman is here with another look at the show biz beat for us on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
You know, sometimes you look around this great big world of ours and you can see a lot of pain. You can see a lot of misery.
Mm-hmm.
You see people suffering. You look over there and you see Haiti, the people still in such chaos and violence from the earthquake, the damage that was over there. You feel for them. You see people out of jobs here in the States. The economy's hurting. People having a hard time putting food on their table. And you could easily get overwhelmed, I think, by the sadness and the negativity that you see in the news every day.
Right.
But then once in a while, a story comes along that renews your faith in humanity. And I think I have just such a story.
Okay. So, well, George Clooney, because if it does, I don't want to hear it.
It doesn't.
All right.
Announced today, Universal Pictures has committed to Fast and the Furious 5.
Yeah!
Studios closed deals with Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, director Justin Lin, and producer Neil Moritz to return to the franchise. It will be referred to as Fast 5.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
That's what I'm talking about. Fast 5. It'll be
Fast
called
Fast 5.
Fast 5. You going to check out Fast 5? With the situation? Commit the robbery? Fast 5. You got that to look forward to. See, the world's
there's another not happy thought.
The world's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, you're right. We don't look at it enough
we
that
way.
We
got Fast 5 on the horizon. That's all you need to know.
Tell the people in Haiti that.
Exactly. That'll cheer them right up. Soon they'll be watching Fast 5, and everything will be everything. Mel Gibson in the news again. We played that piece of clip. That clip from a piece of an interview with Sam Rubin where he tried to stick the wasp's nest with a spoon.
Yeah, that happened.
And got stung. Well, apparently his colleagues haven't learned a lesson. There was a guy in Chicago in the WGN who said to Mel Gibson in an interview, "Do you think people will welcome you back after everything that you did?" And Mel Gibson, of course, says, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You know, the drinking and the anti-Semitic rants and blah, blah, blah." And Mel Gibson said, "Look, that was over 4 years ago. I did this. I went to these classes. I made these apologies. I am over it. You clearly aren't. But I think people will be." And the guy acted all affronted as if Mel Gibson was acting out of line. And this was the end of the interview.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.
I think they maybe they left on? His mic on a little bit too long.
Just a tiny bit too long?
Just a hair too long. Look, these people, and this is, we've gotten emails from people saying, "Oh, how can you possibly support any anti-Semitic comments he might have made?" That's not, it's not about the actual thing that happened 4 or 5 years ago at all. It's about these look-at-me journalists, and trust me, I go to a lot of these screenings where you see a lot of these entertainment journalists. They're douchebags.
Yeah.
And it takes no talent to do the job of reading the entertainment news. Trust me. I know firsthand. I have no talent, and I do it every day. And these people have less talent than most. They're just trying to make a name for themselves by finding some soft underbelly to this guy, some controversial point that they can try to make a name for themselves by stirring it up.
This guy took down Mel Gibson, that kind of thing?
Right. They're trying to poke him to get a reaction. And instead of feeding them some pre-scripted statement that he's prepared for this, he actually confronts them and gets into it with them, and then they act as if he's being out of line.
Right.
So, if I could sum up what you're saying, Ralph.
Mind your own business, you stupid Jew!
No, I mean, is that what we're talking about here?
Wow.
That's the opposite.
Has nothing to do
I'm
with
saying.
Jewish people.
No, it doesn't. Has things to do with these inane entertainment reporters.
You know what I think of them?
Asshole.
That's what I think. I'm with Mel. I think Mel's handling this spectacularly, and I hope it happens more.
Look, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I mean, I was embarrassed at the time that Mel Gibson behaved the way he did, but I feel like it was a long time ago. He certainly has paid the price and did the apology tour, and it's time to move on and judge him for what he's doing today.
Yeah, plus, the rules of these junkets are clear. He's there to talk about Edge of Darkness.
Right.
That's what it's there for. This isn't a sit-down, in-depth interview about Mel Gibson.
About your life.
This isn't Barbara Walters at the couch to make him cry. This is a junket, and they're talking about it. But these guys can't help themselves. They got to try to prove that somehow they're real journalists. Well, they're not, first of all. And they get what they deserve, I think, when they try to poke this guy. And I like the fact that he is reacting with some genuine emotion. I find it entertaining.
What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you are out there.
And
we love you. And we love Canners. We go to Canners every night.
That's right.
My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
Like they do.
Shalom.
Come on.
Bean, you're not helping.
What? I'm on your side. I'm with you.
Don't be on my side.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
I prefer you more when you're on the other side.
I like that.
That's better for me.
I'd like to firmly take a position on the other side of whatever Bean's on.
Me too.
All right.
Congratulations to Darth Vader. He's feeling better these days.
Squeeze me?
God damn it.
It's just not possible to hate you more.
But every day I try.
It really isn't.
David Prowse, who played Darth Vader in the costume in all the original Star Wars films.
Right.
He had prostate cancer. But it's been announced today that he is officially in remission. So the Force is with his balls today. The 74-year-old actor says he feels
conclusion?
Great. Yes, that's what the conclusion is.
All right.
The 74-year-old actor says he feels great, and he's looking forward to blowing up more planets with the Death Star. So great.
I'm a man.
All right. You say so? We'll take your word for it. You got to beware of Boston impersonators. Remember the band Boston?
Yeah,
surely.
Yeah. Apparently, there is a fake Boston band going around the country booking themselves as the original Boston.
Why don't you pick somebody that somebody wants to see? Why don't you go with Springsteen?
Well, because you would know if you were the fake Springsteen, right? If I walk into the Canyon Club and say, "Hi, I'm Bruce Springsteen. Book me. I'd like to do a date here." They're gonna say, "Get out! You're not Bruce Springsteen."
But who knows what Boston is?
If five guys show up and say, "Hey, we're Boston," they say, "Oh, great! Let's put an ad in the paper and folks show up."
That's awesome.
Well, how funny is that?
It's also a little bit further complicated by the singer of Boston is dead. I mean, he committed suicide a couple of years ago. So, I mean, there's kind of a vacuum out there for. There isn't a Boston, really, anymore that's touring. So
well, we're
I
saying
these guys are picking up the slack.
It's just not the real one.
Yeah. So apparently the guitarist and the leader of the band, Tom Scholz, is online warning people, don't book Boston into your clubs because these guys who are posing as Boston aren't the real Boston.
Wow.
I just think that's not funny.
They were
a big band. At one time, they had like a number one album.
In the 70s.
Monster, yeah, like a monster album.
In the 70s.
In the 70s, right. So I'm saying there obviously probably is some sort of classic rock audience that. But how sad is it if you could be that big at one time and then anyone could just say they're you.
Just be there you.
Just walk around. Yeah.
Their only number one hit, Ralph, Amanda. Remember that song?
No, Casey Kasem. Sing it for us.
I can't sing. You know I can't sing any of the songs.
I thought Amanda was Toto.
No. No, that was Africa. Amanda was Boston.
Oh, really?
Put that in the fire.
Damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
Today's celebrity birthday is Alice Cooper, 62 years old today. Guitarist Noodles of The Offspring is 47. Former boxing champ Oscar De La Hoya is 37 years old. Gavin DeGraw, singer-songwriter, is 33 years old today. And we're talking about Natalie Imbruglia last hour.
Yes.
Smoking Hot Natalie Imbruglia, and we were talking about her hit song that Bean refused to sing for us. We couldn't remember what
he
it
started was. Singing it, but he wouldn't continue.
What?
No, I didn't know any of the words to that one.
Couldn't recall what Torn sounded like, but it's a little taste of Torn.
Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith.
How about that?
This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed, lying naked on the floor.
Yeah, let's hear more about that.
That's all I care about.
Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn.
Yeah.
I liked that song. I thought that was a good song at the time.
I liked it a lot. Especially when I looked at her photo.
Yeah.
When I'd be looking at the photo while she was singing that.
Being torn.
Yeah, I'd tear it up.
Come on. Screaming. Porpoise.
Come on. She needs some stitches. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Donkey. Punch.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
She's Australian, right? Natalie Imbruglia?
Yes.
Yeah. Down Under, you know what I'm saying?
The Bean. Cleveland.
Yes, Steamer.
Down Under?
Get it?
Come
Get
on,
it?
You're not even trying.
Didgeridoo?
Come on.
Yeah. Koala bear, you know what I'm saying?
No!
Yeah.
Rusty. Trombone.
That's right. Great Barrier Reef, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'd attack.
No.
That's the first
Hot.
Place I'd
Carl.
Go. My great white shark.
Outback.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Dirty. Sanchez.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
There is no substitute for Bush.
Exactly. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Weezer on the way. Also, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, and your phone calls right now. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. What kind of gems were left for us overnight, Kevin?
Well, we had a guy call yesterday during the show when we were talking to Ozzy.
Wow. Ralph's imitation of Ozzy isn't funny at all today. What's up with him?
Okay, there was a lot of confusion when we talked to the real Ozzy Osbourne yesterday because we've talked to the fake Ozzy so much, but that was actually the real one yesterday, so that's why it may have sounded a little different than usual.
Not as funny as what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
Hey guys, I was just listening to Thanks for That Info, Bean, and I think I have a solution. I have a very, very high tolerance for stupidity. I'm a teacher. So when he would say something like, why isn't anyone named Millicent anymore? Then my response to that would be, F*** you, Bean. Hi, Callie.
That's how he deals with his kids.
Right.
He's got a good way of doing it.
Hey, I got a question since you guys seem to be in the know about concerts and things.
Everything's good. Thank you for calling. All good in the hood. Everything on the up and up.
I heard that DJ Spina Bifida is spinning down at the Troub this weekend. Any truth to that?
No, I had to cancel that event. My back hurts too much. Thank you, though.
Hey, Bean, this is Ketchup. You.
Yeah. Oh, Ketchup's right back. Oh. My least favorite condiment is now fighting back.
Oh, you got served by Ketchup. The Winter X Games were this past weekend. Shaun White really took a blow to the dome. I mean, he pretty much hit the edge of the super pipe with his face.
God.
And then that was a warm-up, got back up and won the gold.
Funny thing about Shaun White's accident, after he smashed his face, he actually looks better now.
Oh,
wow. Why are you going to come at Shaun like that?
Come on.
He's the best.
All right, now here, this next one I was going to cut out because it's lame. But then I think something at the very end brought it around for me that said, all right, let's keep it.
Judge Reinhold with the puck over to Murphy. He shoots. He scores.
Oh, no.
See, because Judge Reinhold was in
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that was a timely call.
Ralph likes to wear panties and exercise. Ralph likes to wear panties in front of guys.
I forgot Ralph keeps a pair of panties in his workout bag for when he boxes.
That's right.
Forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that back to us. This girl moved to Miami. Not happy with the choices there.
I moved to Miami, Florida. The morning radio here is painfully horrible. I miss you guys so much. I even miss Psycho. Oh, my God. Kill me.
Yeah.
Hey, if we could speak Spanish, our show would be out of Miami, but unfortunately, no.
She's right. Dave and I do those radio roundtables, and it's all the radio stations from all over.
From all over the country.
And it's all over the country. Mm-hmm. The ones in Miami are the biggest collections of douchebags ever.
Really? But don't you get the feeling that everybody kind of gets used to whatever they get used to? So people that move here from other cities say that about us?
Yeah but, I mean, really? Just visually, they're the worst, too. Okay. So I can only imagine what they talk about.
So you're saying they don't look cool.
Oh, no.
Like us. Thanks for that update. We do. Yeah.
Hey, Psycho Mike. Loved your interview with Rihanna, but I gotta know, man. Did you hit that?
See, because that's not funny. That isn't funny. Not where you want to go with that. This guy is very hard to understand. At the beginning, though, he is talking about the story that we reported on, that out of Australia, they've decided to ban small boobs from nudity.
That's right.
If you have A's, you can't show them because they say they're afraid that it will encourage pedophilia. Not making that up, but we reported on that story, and that's what this guy's talking about, even though he's clearly has a mumble mouth.
Hey, since Australia is making all their ugly women with small boobs not show them, how about we make all the women in the K-Rock office work with their shirts off just so they can show them, you know, be jealous and be happy for what they have for. Put it up for a vote. Hi, Lisa.
Well said. I would like to introduce the new moment with the callers.
Yes. And now a moment with the Kevin and Bean listener.
Just so they can show them, you know, be jealous and be happy for what they have for. Put it up for a vote.
That was a moment with the Kevin and Bean listener.
Very well said. 323-520-AFR.
Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a showbiz beat. Before we get into that, Ralph, do you mind if I ask you a lost question? Because I did catch up on the season 6 premiere yesterday afternoon. I couldn't participate in all of your conversation the day after. Real quick, if you blow up the bomb so that the hatch is never built,
right,
so that the plane never crashes, so that you never land on the island, how are you still on the island after you blow up the bomb? Why are you still there?
Because you they were there.
What?
Because they were there.
Excuse me?
who was where? They were there.
Right, but then they weren't. If they blew it up before time, then how do both timelines go forward?
Because they've already moved out of the timeline where they originally landed on the island.
Right.
They were there before in the late 90s, right?
Right.
Right. They were there. Right.
Late 80s, I think.
Late 80s. That was their time.
Right.
So if they had blown up the bomb in that time, it wouldn't have had anything to do with them being on the island, right?
But if you go back in time and blow it up before that point, you don't get to that point.
But they were already there and out of their time onto another time when they blew up the bomb. So
okay,
they immediately returned to their original time.
Oh.
And now an alternate universe has been created where it never happened, but but they still exist where it did happen.
Okay, they landed on the island originally in 2004. I thought the time that they were blowing up the hatch to try to prevent them from crashing on the island in 2004 was back in 1977, no?
Yes, that's what I said. But they were already there in 2004.
Right.
They existed there. Then they were moved out of that natural time into a different time. They were moved out of space and time into a place where they did not belong. That's where they blew up the bomb.
I would like to say that I am clearer now.
So that created a new reality.
Exactly.
But didn't negate the old
bomb up, create a new reality where that plane never crash landed on the island. But because they were out of sync with their time and place, the current them, all that happened to them was they were returned to where they belonged initially.
So are there two sets of those people on the earth at the same time? In real time, there's a Jack Shepherd in Los Angeles who's a doctor, and there's also a Jack Shepherd who's a plane crash survivor on the island.
Yes, there are now alternate universes. The universe is schismed off into two alternate realities.
All right. Is the best line on any TV show ever, "I'm sorry you had to see me like that"?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Time for the showbiz.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to wrap my head around what Ralph has just said and get back to you with more.
ABC has picked up a sitcom pilot starring former Scrubs star Sarah Chalk, which I'm happy to say because I love her.
Yeah. She's funny.
The series is called Freshman. And she'll play a woman who was elected and goes to Washington, D.C. as a first-year congressperson. like a woman could be a politician. That's cute.
Yeah, that happens.
What?
Yeah.
Hollywood Reporter says the show will be about three freshman congresspeople who live together in a house. They share a home together.
Okay.
Okay. Sort of like the Big Bang Theory in Congress, sort of.
All right.
Kind of. Apparently, one of the executive producers of the show is Arianna Huffington.
Really?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So it's not going to be funny?
I don't know what she has to do the actual writing of it, but I just thought that was interesting.
I like her. I just wish her English were better.
She's the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Same with Arnold.
Yeah, exactly.
More TV news. Remember Ian Ziering?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
From Beverly Hills 90210?
Oh, yeah.
Much too excitement for him.
Much too excitement.
Right?
Yes.
Much too.
Much too excitement. He apparently is engaged. He's marrying his girlfriend, who's a nurse. Erin Christine Ludwig is her name. And apparently they will be tying the knot in the spring after a year and a half together. So congratulations. Remember his first wife?
Yeah, she was a good deal.
Nikki.
Yep.
She's crazy.
But you got Gossip Girl tonight, and then you got Beverly Hills 90210 on Tuesday. And that's the one when they have the big drag race with the GTO judge.
Right.
So that should be happening on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
On Beverly Hills 90210.
Right. Yeah. Ronnie, excited about the GTO.
When she was at her peak, Nikki Ziering, she was in the second American Pie movie as the stripper.
She was diabolical.
Oy.
Yeah, she came in as the naughty stripper, right? Yeah, with the riding crop and everything. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
good times. You believe in the rumors that Brad and Angelina are breaking up? You buying into that at all?
Not even a little bit.
It's hard to tell because they started the second they got together.
Yeah, we have been dealing with it ever since they've been together. But now they've been coming fast and furious.
Oh. Are they going to events separately? Is that why?
Wait, they're in the new Fast and Furious movie?
Fast Five?
Sorry, Rob. They have been seen separately.
Separately.
And for some reason lately, the rumors are just much more prevalent than they ever have been.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're true. Just means they're more prevalent. Now, the latest rumor is Brad is reuniting with Jennifer Aniston, his first wife.
Saw that.
Yeah,
saw
I
didn't believe that.
And now Angelina Jolie has a new boyfriend.
Okay.
Wait for this one.
This is more confusing than Lost.
Johnny Depp.
What?
Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie are a couple.
No way.
Yes.
Hasn't he had a long time?
Long time.
A friend of Angelina says that she's already met up with Johnny, and they spent hours drinking red wine and discussing his acting method, if you know what I'm saying. And they write about 50 emails a day to each other.
50?
Yes. They're head over heels.
Like DeWine numbers.
No. No, 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 no.
But they're saying
no.
What about Vanessa Paradis?
No.
Yeah.
No.
She fall into all this.
And their kids. They all have so many kids.
Yeah, he's such a committed dad. I can't see that being happy.
And I know the tabloids would be so happy to see Brad and Jennifer back together, but there's no basis, in fact, whatsoever for this story.
None.
Nope.
So it's true?
That's why I'm spreading it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heidi Montag apparently is having trouble with her mom, Darlene Egelhoff.
Because she doesn't recognize her?
Well, apparently she tells People magazine that when her mom first saw her after her 10 plastic surgeries in one day, my mom looked at me like I was a circus freak, she said.
Yes,
Her mom blamed her obsession with looking good on her musical ambitions. And Heidi says the tense situation between her and her mom broke her heart, and they're apparently in a strained situation in their relationship.
Look, her mom can be down on the idea, but the plan worked. She got the plastic surgery and sold, 3 million albums first week out?
No, she sold less than 1,000 albums.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So you got the surgery for nothing then.
So that happened. Yeah.
Their skin is golden.
And celebrities are better than us.
Yep.
They raise their children better. I know that much. Star Magazine's got a story about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner and their little daughter, Violet.
Mm-hmm.
Who is just adorable, by the way. Violet is just a sweetheart of a kid. Apparently, Jennifer bought her little daughter, Violet, a cupcake. And as they were leaving the bakery and walking down the street, Violet saw a homeless man on the sidewalk, and she gave her cupcake to the homeless man.
Oh,
really?
She's already better than we are?
She's already better than you are.
How old is she?
3, I think.
Come on. That's an impossibly high bar to set.
As an adult.
Yeah, Lisa would never give up a cupcake.
A cupcake?
We know Bean wouldn't from the story earlier this morning.
But I'm keeping the cupcake.
Bean will give a dude pennies to get on a bus. But little Violet Affleck has given up her cupcake.
Mom was so touched,
she took her back to the bakery and bought her another one because she was so touched by her generous gift.
And said, don't effing lose this one.
No.
Hang on to that one, kid.
She said, this was a special treat for being such a generous little girl. So she gave her...
And then she ate the cupcake and rocketed the wrapper at the homeless guy, like Miss Cleo. Yes?
What?
No.
That's a stretch, that one.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
Sorry.
We got an Insta request, by the way. Someone asked if... Kevin and Ozzy Osbourne could talk about what's going on Lost. They could have a conversation about Lost.
Nope.
Maybe we should do that for next week's episode after it's over.
It's not.
Kevin and Ozzy review Lost. Recap what's happening going on Lost.
Because he'll make more sense than I will. I get upset.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Conrad Bain.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes.
Diggity diggity Drummond.
He's 87 years old today. Good old Mr. Drummond. I think he's still in touch with Willis and Hollis.
No. Doubt it.
No.
Hollis. Hollis and Willis and...
Dana Plato.
Wallace. No one's in touch with Dana Plato anymore. She's dead. Alice Cooper, 62 years old today. Noodles from The Offspring is 47. Comedian, actor Rob Corddry, also from The Daily Show. He is 39 years old today. Oscar De La Hoya, the people's champion, the golden boy. 37 years old. Rick Birch, bassist for Jimmy Eat World, is 35. Gavin DeGraw is 33. And Natalie Imbruglia celebrates her 35th birthday today. She, of course, Australian pop singer who is quite attractive.
Yeah, she's hot.
Although, didn't she just fight cancer recently? Didn't she have a battle with cancer?
I thought that was Kylie Minogue.
Ah, that's right.
Maybe.
That's another Australian pop singer I'm thinking of.
Sure.
Yeah, Natalie's fine. She's good.
It's good to hear.
Apparently, I just checked her out. She's good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Matt Money Smith, who is a sportscaster live. He's been in Miami for the last week. He's probably near death.
Communism.
If I know him well.
Sling box.
Tomorrow is Movie Beat because it's Friday. Tomorrow is Adam Carolla.
Buckman.
Adam Carolla because it's Friday.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, I kid you not, we are going to talk to a listener who's upset because we said the word mayonnaise and not mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Oh, mayonnaise?
We had an instead actual pronunciation mayonnaise. Guide emailed to us.
Who said mayonnaise?
I say it. Bean says it.
I say mayonnaise.
Yeah, but so that's not the point. The point is we got corrected in a very, very harsh manner over that. So we're going to talk to
Tony Hawk
person.
Over there, worried about how people say words.
How dare you. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bench.
By the way, Alex is working on Wing, though, right? Sorry, I will not rest until we get Wing back in the show to discuss her Bee Gees tribute album. All right, we'll work on that. Don't go away, though, because no Wing as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock Music next with the beautiful Kat Corbett. She will be playing some Nirvana, that new Lay Me Down song from the Dirty Heads featuring Rome.
Anyone? Got a Rome impression in you?
Nope. I thought somebody might. Wow.
Just do.
There you go.
There you go.
Beastie Boys, Green Day, and more right after this on K-Rock.